Welcome to the Kanakuk Institute podcast, where we continue to equip leaders with biblical skills for a lifetime of ministry. Hey guys, this is Keith Chansey with the Kanakuk Institute podcast, coming to you live from Branson, Missouri, and I am so excited once again to be in the podcast room with Mike and Carrie Shear. And Mike is one of the pastors of Denton Bible Church, and Carrie is, she is a gifted counselor. And what we're going to do today is we're going to start with Carrie a little bit. And Carrie, tell me a little bit about your background and how did you want to get into counseling?
That's a great question. I actually studied counseling in seventh grade with Mrs. Bonner in occupational investigation, and I read a card about counseling. We didn't have counselors in our town. I'm from a really small town, and so I didn't even know what it was, but when I read it, from seventh grade on, I knew that's what I wanted to do with my life. I know that's a very unique calling, and most people don't know what they want to do, but I got a bachelor's in counseling, I got a master's in counseling, and I never took any additional classes than what was required to become a counselor. So it was a passion that I think was in me from my youth, and it has just been multiplied over time. I've never occasionally, I've wanted to be a plumber because I think it would be a little bit easier. Like, I just think if I could fix it in 30 seconds or tell them what to do to screw a knob on, that it would be a lot easier than counseling because, you know, counseling is a dialogue. And so you're working with the hearts of humans, helping them unpack the gospel. And that's hard work. And so it's hard. There are many times where I've thought I would be better maybe at plumbing than this, but this is my calling. And so I've always wanted to do it.
Carrie, you are such a lovely lady, and you smile and you encourage. I can't imagine someone walking in your presence not feeling the warmth of Jesus
that
in you.
That is so sweet. Ask my kids about that. They might.
Well, that's what comes with the counseling. Because when you're going to say, hey, we need to shape up, I can see that you take off those gloves a little bit. A
little bit.
But here's the thing. You know, you work with so many people, and you've worked with so many people. What are some tips that you would give to us that would help us? Just, we're backyard counselors. You said something earlier to me. You said, Chansey, everybody needs to be a counselor.
Yeah.
And so what are some tips to us that would help us to be a counselor? And what's the heart behind counseling?
Oh, gosh. So that's a big question. Let me see if I can narrow it down just a little bit. But I'm a, you know, when you go to church on Sundays, the pastor counsels you from the pulpit. He has prepared a message, but it is one man telling other men how to walk intimately with the Lord and how to know Him. And so that's a monologue. And then you go home and you have a million dialogues throughout the week. And that's why I say I think everyone is a counselor. The issue is not, are we counseling? The issue is, are we doing it well or are we doing it poorly? And so I think that our society has reduced counseling to paying a paid professional with a lot of letters behind their name, a lot of money usually to sit in an office space. And I am not saying, because I do private counseling in a private practice setting, I'm not saying that there's not an advantage to that. But I really believe that if the church were doing its job well, that we would not be just working on the pastor and how he teaches the people, but the consistent dialogue within the church on how we help each other live out the truths that we're being taught. And so my best advice is, learn how to love people. Like, read your Bible in such a way, even Proverbs. Just take Proverbs and look at how Solomon talks about how we speak gently into the lives of others. Like, I just feel like if we learned how to really value each other, how to ask each other questions beyond, how are you doing? You know, really intentionally loving each other, putting the phone aside, distractions, and just giving someone your undivided attention. I really think that if we did that better, people would love the church and counseling would be restored to the church, which is my constant prayer.
So Carrie, what I hear you saying is that, you know, the church, you know, we go to the church, we hear someone teach us, but yet there's nothing asked of us. So really, in order to do it right, we've got to have an outlet where we are not just hearing the word, but we've got to be doers of the word. We need to process what we're hearing, incorporate in our life, that we begin to change from the inside out. And as a result, now we see what happens when we allow the word of God and prayer to begin to transform us. Now we begin to teach others what we know has worked in our own life, but not meaning this will work for you because it always works differently for everybody.
Right.
But we've got to be more intentional to prayer and the Word of God. That's what you're saying.
Absolutely. And learning how to unpack scripture in your daily life. Like when you have a heaping dose of fear about a thing, do you know where to go? You know, where do you run to? How is the Lord is my shepherd? I shall not want. How is just Jesus being your shepherd a comfort to you? And how do you let that be a comfort to you? You know, we're much more prone to run to a fix it or a quick fix or a medication. And I'm not down on any of those things. I'm just saying that we have the very keys to the kingdom on how to deal with fear, how to deal with depression. I don't think our Bible is a depression manual. I think it's a book on redemption. So I don't mean to say in any way that it is, but I think we have more wisdom in the Word of God on how to navigate darkness, how to navigate loneliness, how to navigate rejection. Like we have stories, narratives, specific commands on what we're supposed to do. And we have a Savior who's experienced all those things that we can run to. So I think the better we get at unpacking our Bible, the better we're getting it counseling one another and even counseling ourselves. Yeah. So sometimes we separate the preaching and counseling. But to me, I actually think those two things go together to make a healthy church. Mm. That counseling is a part of gospel-oriented ministry. It's just happening in a dialogue constantly with people. And we're doing it all the time. We just don't always call it counseling. And I think it's a pre-fall institution. I think it happened in Genesis when God told Adam and Eve how to navigate this thing called life. And how much more do we need it since the fall? We need to be doing that with each other all the time.
All the time. A lot of people say, that's just reconciling. We are always reconciling with one another, and we're restoring relationships. And so you're so good at that. You know, one of the things I want to ask you is your husband, Mike, he got really sick this year. He went on a trip and he got really sick. Yeah. And you guys went through it. Mike was really, you were frightened, Mike.
Yeah, I will tell you, so we've been doing missions for 24 years, and the way I serve the Lord is by giving my husband the freedom to go, because I man the fort on the home front, and so that is how I have glorified the Lord. But, and I have dealt with a lot of physical sickness in my lifetime. I have been through Graves' disease, lost my thyroid, celiac disease. That's a hard one. I still dream about tortillas, and I've been through cancer, and so I have dealt with the health battle. Never has my husband, and how long have we been married? 26 years. My husband's never been sick, and if he got sick, he got well really well. Yeah. He was in a foreign country. The day before this happened, just so you know, he said he had texted me, because we do have the ability to communicate a little through text. Most of the places he goes are third world, so we don't always have an opportunity to even text. But in this particular trip, he said that there was an opportunity open to him to teach like 20 pastors who were in charge of congregations, all of them, to teach them how to teach their congregations expositionally. So to really teach these pastors how to teach the Bible. So I was so excited. The next day he texted me and said to me the words, and I'm just going to tell you what he said. I'm not coming home. I'm so sorry. I love you. Never in my life did I think my husband would text me. Now, we've had conversations that now he knows you don't text a wife. It's 2 cents a minute.
You don't call, say that anyway.
You call your wife and say you're dying. You don't text her and tell her you're dying. But he was stuck in a room. You could not open the windows. He had texted me the night before. We had actually texted 24 hours, and I knew he was really not doing well, but he couldn't breathe. It got progressively worse. And he said, it was 4 flights to get home. It was over 2 days to get home. And he said, there's no way that I can physically get on a plane and make it home. And so I made an emergency call to an ER doctor is an elder at our church and a friend of mine. And I said, Jimmy, Mike just texted me and said he's dying and he's not coming home. Could you help me? And so he helped us get Mike home. But it was began a 4-month battle of just, not only did he have the physical illness, but there was a real panic that went with that because he thought he was dying in a foreign country and not coming home. And so it was like working with not only the physical illness, but also a tremendous amount of anxiety that went with that. So when he would come home and try to lay down, I could put my hand on his chest and his heart would be out of his chest. And you could physically tell him the right things. I was reading to him. I was singing to him. We were saying scripture. But his body was responding in a way that was, you know, we're all embodied souls. And sometimes Fear likes to be the boss of us.
So let me ask two questions there. You know, Carrie, how did you deal with that? And how did that draw y'all closer, further, closer to God? What did that moment take you? Because Carrie, you said you've been through so many difficult things in your life.
So, you know, we counsel others based on the counsel we've received. And so, you know, dealing with health issues for 17 years, if I didn't know how to counsel my husband well, that means I had not. James says regarding suffering, he said, let it have its way in you, which I think is a personal invitation. I've always said suffering comes with two invitations. One is, will you let it have its way in you? Or will you allow that to, because you can also get real bitter when you are in pain for a long period of time. And I've always wanted to let it have its way in me and produce endurance. And I'm telling you, what I saw so beautifully is that God used the pain in my life to make me a better counselor to my own husband. Like I can't even explain this to you except to say, I knew what to say. Yeah. I knew what to do. I knew where to go in scripture to comfort him. I knew how to read to him. And so all those years of, and I asked the Lord why many times in my life, because the pain has been part of my vocabulary for a very long time.
So 17 years of being prepared through what you went through.
17 years. And I will say 17 years of suffering without an expiration. I think trials that have an expiration date are not, are much easier. I deal with the level of brokenness in my body that doesn't have an expiration date until heaven. It will go away, Revelation says. Yeah. But yeah, so what is so sweet to me is that God really showed me in a tangible way when you're going through hard times, Romans 8:28, he will use it for absolute good. And so when he came home, I knew exactly what to do. And I never hit the floor.
Right.
There were moments of panic.
Yeah.
I would say, but definitely through a season of trust. There were moments where I just got, this is not getting better. But seasonally, it was a place where we trusted the Lord. So
Carrie, how, you know, you were trusting God. You knew God's word. You've been through it. Was that affecting you emotionally? How did you deal with that emotion part?
Him hurting?
You.
Me hurting? Well, so I'm just going to be very honest with you. It's easier to watch suffering outside of you than to deal with 17 years of suffering inside of you. And so,
Thank you for sharing that.
I wish that were not true for me. I love him. We are one flesh. Yeah. And you know, it's so sweet to say after 26 years of marriage, I'm madly in love with my husband. And it is a very hard to watch someone you love suffer. But there is something about 17 years of it. Now, I'll tell you, one of the hardships is there were occasional moments where I was like, okay, suck it up. Like, we got to get over. I've had chemo. You can do this. I never said that out loud in the moments of hardship, but I did think it occasionally. So your stripes, the things you walk through, can harden you. And I knew it, and I didn't want that to happen. I wanted it to make me more tender towards him. But to be very honest, there were moments where I had to say, God, let this produce tenderness towards him. Because sometimes when you've dealt with a hard thing, it can actually promote hardness in your heart. And I didn't want to do that. And so that was a constant prayer for me.
So you literally had to go to God and say, God, give me more sensitivity here.
Oh, on numerous occasions.
Yeah. And I think that's not something.
Because there were moments where it was very natural for me and it felt right. But there were moments where I said, Lord, I want to look at him the way you do, to see him as a suffering saint right now, the way you see him. And I want my counsel and my love for him to reflect that. Because there are times where you just get hard. You know, like I'm like, I mean, truly, chemo can make you say, it ain't chemo, brother.
Right.
You know, you suck it up. But I didn't want that. No. I didn't want that. And so I would express that desire to the Lord and bring that to him. And I will tell you, it did bond us.
Yes.
Like, suffering on any level, internal or external in a marriage, it will either push you together or it will drive you apart.
That's right.
We've dealt through hardships where we've watched it pull us apart and we will name it, say it out loud and say, we don't want that. So how do we pull together?
Yeah.
This one, and I will also say cancer was the same way for us. It pulled our hearts together because I think what was so sweet for both of us is we saw we're fighting on the same team.
Yes.
Like we're fighting occasionally, like when you're dealing with difficult parenting issues, and like I'm law and Mike is grace. So I'm the Texas hammer and he's Santa Claus. And so like that was divisive and we don't want that. We right. wanted our hearts to be drawn together. So yeah. we had learned from that to say, how do we work together on this? Sickness on the inside of our marriage, both times, through all the seasons, it's a thing that we come together on. Mm. And so,
you know, Carrie and Mike, the thing that I hear you guys saying is how that pain drew y'all together. You understood a lot of things through the pain that you'd been through for yep. over 17 years. Yes. It made you sensitive, but also made you hard in some areas to go, I'm going to help him to suck it up.
And also, but the gentleness, like you got both of those.
You balance both, yeah.
Tension.
That's good.
You hold that yeah. tension.
And that's what Karen does for me. She's a balance. She's been through more pain in that regards that I have, having cancer and different things that she's had. And all these things like you that she's had for many, many years. And the prognosis of that is, you know, when you've got these needle in the haystack type of things that are, your body's just hurting all the time. And you go, when will I ever not? And you just go, it may never.
Revelation 22:5. Yeah, the darkness right. will be no more.
There you
it's
go.
Coming. It's just it's not here.
It
it's
may not be here. On this yeah. earth. Yeah. And so Karen will remind me. This
but
pain.
Holding that tension is really yes. important because like I saw darkness knocking at his door and it pulls you in two directions. Yeah. One myopically. It makes yeah. you look at life just according to your own suffering, but it pulls you down and you can go into the darkness. Mm-hmm. You can receive that invitation. So the two sides of that is being compassionate. I know what that feels like. Yeah. Like I know what, when darkness calls your name, I know what that feels like. But then also, so being compassionate in to a sufferer, but also Mike Emlett wrote a book called Sinner, Sufferer, Saint. Mm-hmm. And it's about how we're all those things. And so counsel is both of those things. It's the gentleness. It's the tenderness of seeing a person always that they are suffering on some level, but then also, okay, how do we pull you out of that so that it doesn't become a consuming force in your life? Because darkness wants to.
It does. I think what you've done, Carrie, you've helped us understand because there's a lot of people out there today suffering. And either they are suffering or someone they love is suffering. And how do we do it well?
Yeah.
We've got to go to prayer. We've got to go to God's word. We're all called to counsel, to help each other, to come through that difficult time, to offer them mercies, to be firm when we need to be firm, but to be very loving when we need to be loving. But our goal is unity of the body,
that's
bringing
right.
us together and yeah. bring us in Christ, because the great healer is Christ and the great healing will one day be in heaven. That's our glorification.
The only thing I will add and close with is make sure that you're running to the gospel. Like I for a long time, I thought the goal of the Christian life was growth. Mm-hmm. And so I would set myself to say, am I growing? I am telling you, through suffering, I learned growth is not the goal. The goal of the Christian life is to seek and savor Jesus Christ as if your life depends on it, that you fix your eyes on him.
Yes.
And I'll tell you, he's a sufferer.
That's right.
He knows how to comfort
us. The suffering saint knows how to cover.
Yes, he suffers.
Well, you have come through that, and the suffering you've come through, there's so many people out there today that are suffering and they go, I don't know if it'll ever go away. And it may not. We can't control that part. That's why James is so important when he says, consider it joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. The joy is not a ha-ha. It's a very deeply moved spirit that God gives you this joy. Mm-hmm. It is a deep-seated peace that yes. only God could give. And so we ask that. And so our endurance and that joy is because God gave it. It's God-given.
Yes.
Joy is a choice. Carrie, thank you so much today. I think there'll be so
You're
many people
so
today
welcome.
That go, I need this. Because they're hurting, they're in pain, they're grieving, and they're going to win. And we can tell them, salvation is the answer, but one day we'll be glorified. Right now we're being sanctified, and it's a journey.
Yes.
And so that journey is a journey of choice. Let's make Christ known. And when we are in heaven one day, we'll rejoice in that. But until then, let's offer a lot of people mercies and peace and give them kindness and joy. But most important, let's glorify Jesus.
Yes.
I love that's how you started. So guys, thank y'all so much for joining us today. We've got to go. And God bless you guys. Have the best day ever and suffer well. God bless. Bye-bye.